Welcome to the podcast of the Sunday Celebration from the Center for Spiritual Living in Huntsville, Alabama. We hope you feel the grace, the beauty, and the love of our community as you hear the message of the week.
So the silence takes us into the stillness. And the stillness is the language of God. And then we hear that beautiful admonition from the Bible, be still and know that I am God. So the beautiful clair de lune is like the music of the soul. When that beautiful music ceases, we can choose to connect to that stillness at a deep, deep level. And then we realize that the language of nature is stillness. The trees communicate with us, the plants live in that same stillness. When I come in here on Sunday mornings after having been gone for a week, they tell me that they're thirsty. And so I walk around, and as I water them, we have a shared experience. So what if all of life is that shared experience? Then you begin to see life having a conversation with you, but there's no words being spoken. And we arrive at that empty place where we can hear something deeper than the thoughts in our head. We arrive at that place of divine love. Divine love brings together and maintains together in harmony and balance those who belong together. And so if you find yourself here this Sunday morning, perhaps divine love brought you here so that you could meet yourself yet again in new ways. This month of March, I'm exploring the deep idea, the art of being. So this morning, we can explore the art of being still, the art of being loving, the art of simply being here now, in this sacred moment. And then if we can allow time to collapse, all we ever have is this sacred moment. And in that sacred moment, there are memories from the past. There are beautiful ideas of maybe taking a cruise, the uncruise in the future. But they all arise in this sacred moment of now, where the breath exists. So we allow our breath to become conscious. Breathing in light and love. And then exhaling and letting go. I am letting go of the things that no longer serve me. And as I'm letting go, I am healed. I am made whole. And so we live in life one breath at a time, meeting each moment as it arises. And if it's something that doesn't serve us, we can affirm that I'm going to let go of that which no longer serves me. And in that very act of letting go, maybe it's anger, maybe it's depression, maybe it's disappointment, maybe it's confusion, maybe it's anxiety. You take a deep breath. I am letting go of the things that no longer serve me. As I'm letting go, I am healed. I am made whole. And so from that wholeness, I invite you to open your eyes and to be here now and to claim your rightful place in the universe. We're exploring the idea of resolve to evolve, that we're evolving out of the local self into the universal self, the homo universalis. And we're doing that as a community, so that it's not about the individual. It's about this collective consciousness of oneness arising within humanity. I took with myself to the beach. I've been gone for 5 days, and I took 2 books. One is The Untethered Soul, which was very academic and very cerebral, and it was all about the tethers, and I couldn't read it. So I put The Tethered Soul down, and I pulled out Thomas Merton's mystical book, The Journey to Nowhere. And, you know, he is a monk who lives the contemplative life. And he said that I stepped into solitude, into silence, and my whole life was a communion with the moment where I saw spirit everywhere. And being that he was a Christian monk, he would reference the Christian teachings in a way that I had never heard before. Like he told the story of original sin with Adam. And he says the original sin wasn't some sinful act that Adam did. The original sin was entering into the separate self. He was Adam. He was no longer one with God. And so the evolution of consciousness in the Bible is to take you to Jesus and through his death, the resurrection of the Christ that we all get to experience. So something in us has to die so that this true nature can emerge. So beautiful Thomas Merton, I couldn't put him down at the beach. And I realized his path isn't my path. His path is a path of solitude. His path is a path of deep silence. And I would reference stillness because sometimes you can't have silence. Sometimes there's a lot of noise all around you. And you can still find the stillness even in the silence. When I lived in Manhattan, I lived on West 82nd, right off of Central Park West. And every night I heard sirens. I heard sirens. I heard police cars. And when I went to the country to visit my friends in New Jersey, I couldn't sleep. It was too quiet. I was used to sirens and police cars. That was normal for me living in Manhattan. So what if we all get to meet life on life's terms? And sometimes when you leave your comfort zone and you go on a trip, you get to experience yourself in a whole new light. I certainly did. Riding on the roads on the interstate with a person who has road rage is not what I call a meditation to be desired. And we had our road rage moments. Trust me. He likes to go fast. So I was looking, we're having a board meeting next week, and it's St. Patty's Day. And so Trey said, call Jody, maybe we should move the board meeting because it's third Sunday of the month. Well, then the fourth Sunday is Palm Sunday. And then the fifth Sunday of this month is Easter. So I said, well, I guess we're going to have it on St. Patty's Day because, you know, it's just a day. Isn't it funny how we want to make one day special and another day not? But you know what's special about Easter Sunday for me was in March of 1989, I moved to Huntsville, Alabama, and I showed up at the old center, and my very first talk I ever gave to that, aside from my audition talk, was Easter Sunday. So I always think of Easter Sunday as my anniversary. So this is my 35th anniversary in 2 weeks. And I remember when I researched Easter in the Science of Mind, Dr. Ernest Holmes says, we have to have our own resurrection. It's not about Jesus 2,000 years ago, but it's about a willingness to give birth to something inherently divine within all of us, the Christ consciousness, if you will. You can call it by many names. It's the same thing. It's the awakened awareness that each of us has deep within us, but we have to get still to know it. We have to get still to know it. And in 35 years of doing this, I feel so privileged every year to evolve a little more into the nothing that I am, the no thing, to move from the me into the we and ultimately arrive at the all. It's all you. It's all the one life. Jody and Bob went to Mexico, and they went on this cruise where they saw whales and all kinds of critters from the deep. And isn't that magical? I didn't advance to that level of consciousness yet. I just went to the Gulf where all I saw were the laughing gulls. And when they saw me watching them in their place of repose, all of a sudden the laughing gulls went airborne. And it looked like, I said, Trey, how many birds do you see? He said, oh, a couple hundred. I said, there's a couple of thousand out there. They were from horizon to horizon, and they were squawking and squawking. And you know, you could call it noise, but they were the laughing gulls. They were having fun, and they did it all together. Now, that's something you can put in your diary. And then guess what? Just as they rose together in one level of consciousness, they descended equally as one life. You can see the idea of entrainment, how we're all connected. And they were singing a song, David, that didn't have lyrics, but definitely had cooperation. So what if it's the song of life? It's all the song of life. And we get confused in thinking maybe we're a superior species. Jody saw the blue whales and the gray whales and the narwhals and God knows, the baby whales. I think they're a little bit superior to us. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, we have attitude and belief systems and, So I came in this early church and this little book, no, Let the Butterflies Come to You. And it's little sayings from people who've had direct experiences with that something bigger. None of it really makes sense. And that's, I kind of like things like that. So, and it's all art. Gigi, this, you'll love this. This should be your next book. It says, so here's a little flower from the garden. And it says, pour away your despair and rinse the cup out cleanly and eat emptiness, eat happiness like it's your bread. Edna St. Vincent Millay, pour out the bitterness in your cup and start eating happiness. Well, I think that's her way to resolve her evolution, to eat happiness every day. Oh, look at you with those red glasses and that hat. You look like a movie star back there. Then she goes on to say the next one, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She's the one that wrote the Seven Steps of Grieving, Dying. She says, when life puts you through a tumbler, it's your choice. You can come through it either crushed or you can come through it polished. Well, I think we should choose polished, don't you think, Miss Anastasia? My beloved Adam called and he didn't come today because he had had another car accident, bless his heart. And he was depressed and he was angry and I pulled out Edna St. Vincent Millay and I said, Adam, you can choose to make it feel like you've hit the bottom or you can see it as polishing. And he gave me a little bit of laughter and I saw just a crack of hope that he can let go of the victim thing and step into it's just life. And into every life, something's going to happen. The next little idea she has from the Hasidic Jews. I get up, I walk, I fall down, and meanwhile, I just keep dancing. I get up, I fall down, and meanwhile, I just keep dancing. Quotes Emma Goldman. If you can't dance, I don't want to be a part of your revolution. Well, I think that's kind of sweet. And then lastly, we'll give some Fred Astaire here. There may be trouble ahead, but while there's music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. So life can really push you sometimes, but then ultimately, then life is luring you and pulling you and calling you. So what if, in a way, we have to die to an old way of thinking in this evolutionary dance that we're doing in order to awaken to a higher realization that the thing we're looking for, we're looking with, as Dr. Holmes said, and you're looking at. So it's all the one. I don't have a market on it. There's only one here. And we sing this lovely little song intentionally at the end. I am you, you are me, we are one. And in this unity, and we teach oneness. That's all we teach at the Center for Spiritual Living. One, 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 Dr. Ernest Holmes says. If anything, we teach oneness. Now, how are we going to get to this level of oneness if we can't meet a plant on a plant's terms? If we can't hold a rock and see, you know, and then you hear Meister Eckhart, who says you have to kill God to know God. Get rid of that idea that you have of God. And then he says, if you can see God in the smallest of things, well, that's better than seeing the angel of the Lord. Well, we were down in Bay St. Louis, and they have such a different attitude around trees. Trees are everywhere. They're marked as sacred relics. And when the tree dies, what do you think they do to the tree? They carve them into angels. So all over Bay St. Louis are these winged dead trees. And of course, I'm taking one picture after one picture after one picture. Trey said, you have enough. I said, well, this angel is calling me to take a picture of her, and this angel is calling me. You know, and it kind of changes the way you look at things. And then that poster in the bookstore, when you change the way you look at things, well, then the things you look at change. So instead of seeing it as just an object to be, give us shade, they have those live oak trees down there in Bay St. Louis that are so huge, they literally reach out from side to side. And guess what happens? When the branches start to hang down, they put support systems. They got support on this branch. They got a support on this branch. So isn't that a different level of consciousness? instead of what we have here, where we just kind of, they're advancing 5 points because they're building up on the mountain. They've cleared off half of Monte Sano, and they're going to build all these something or up there. And so they're going to expand Pratt Avenue, so it's a four-laner instead of a two-laner. Well, the only problem is there are all the big oak trees and the maples on both sides of Pratt Avenue. So now they're getting ready to, you know, release those so they can expand the highway to go up the mountaintop. And who do you think's fighting for the trees? I'll give you one guess, and you know who he is. And I said, honey, you can't take it personally. You know, if they cut the trees down, it's not because they're doing this to get back at you. This is what we call progress is our most important product. There's a thing called, what is it called? I want to say Sybil, but it's not Sybil. It's a woman's name. Down by, what's that they're building, Jody? Stella. 360 units. And they're, it's, that means, traces, that means 50 new cars in the neighborhood. And I said, okay, breathe. It's not that they're going to take your little quaint little village and turn it into a, but maybe they are, and we just get to make peace with it. Yeah, so in this evolution, we're going to meet the part of us that isn't resolved, that isn't evolved. And can we invite her in, sit her down? Rumi says, this being human is like a guest house. Come knocking at your doors, or your anxiety, your confusion, your depression, your worries. He says, invite them all in and sit them down at the table. You don't need ayahuasca for this. You just need your presence. And they're coming here to meet you. And he says, they may be coming to clear out your house. So when these parts of ourselves show up, instead of denying them, they're obviously programmed within us from childhood. And could we meet that part of ourselves and find some sense of closure, some sense of peace? And then that make that your intention. You know, I'm talking about resolving to evolve. And the whole time I was down in Bay St. Louis, I said, what am I resolving to be? And then I said, I'm resolving to be peaceful no matter what happens in the world. I'm resolving to claim that stillness as my true mental state, even when the mind is going crazy with all kinds of thoughts and ideas. Could I let that mind be calm or let it go running around with all of its thoughts? And in the meantime, I'm right here. My Zen calendar last week blew me away with an image. It says, I am at the center of the circle, while yes and no are running around the circumference chasing each other. So could we be at the center of the circle of our consciousness while yes and no, yes and no, yes and no, no, I'm here. Ah, I'm here. While I was down there, they have these strange TVs when you stay at a bed and breakfast. I couldn't figure it out. And well, that was really good because I got on Netflix and I got to see the SAG Awards, which were the week before. All these people, and you know, I just watched this game. And who do you think was the person of the year that they claimed as the artist of the year was Barbara Streisand. And this 82-year-old woman walks out on the stage, and she looked 82. And they showed this retrospective of her life. And it started off with her at the current stage of 82, and it showed the planet and how she's out there fighting for the right of our planet to survive. And she talked about global warming and how we have to raise our consciousness if we're going to save our precious planet. And then they flash back on her when she's doing Funny Girl and she's like 16 years old. Don't tell me you have to sit and bit the butter. Life's candy and the sun's a ball of butter. Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade. I'm gonna live and live now. Guess what I want? I know. So you saw this young girl evolving into this huge presence on the planet. And then, of course, she went into people. I remember being in ninth grade, hearing her sing, people who need people are the luckiest people in the world. So her life was a manifestation of her consciousness. She then, as when she was doing her first thing, she worked with the director, and all of a sudden she became the first woman to win the director's award. She wrote a movie. Her life evolved from being just a little girl singing a song into running the whole show. And it was an expression of this deeper something. Remember that movie On a Clear Day? It's all about being reincarnated from another lifetime. Rise and look around you, and you'll see who you are on a clear day. How it will astound you that the glow of your being outshines every star. That's pretty much oneness conscious. You'll feel part of every mountain, sea, and shore, and you'll hear from far and near the things you never heard before because you're tapping into this universal self. So then what does she do? Because she's from Jewish roots, she writes and directs and composes the music for Yentl, I was accidentally calling it Lentil this morning, but I realized it's Yentl, where she plays a young boy as he goes through his evolution in consciousness. And then she wrote that number one song that won an Academy Award, Evergreen, when she did A Star Is Born. And as she was sharing on the stage, she said, everyone's life is this emerging something that if we could treasure it, it would show us how to express this inner splendor. And I thought I had to come all the way to Bay St. Louis to see Barbara Streisand to show me the example. So as we're driving down in the car, trying to avoid all the news, we got into National Public Radio. And who do you think was on National Public Radio? You know, there are no accidents in the universe. It was RuPaul. And RuPaul has written a new book. And RuPaul said, when I was a little boy, my mother used to say, girlfriend, you're going to do this. And she accepted me from the get-go. And he says, and now he's six, RuPaul's 62. He said, I went from being a gender-confused young boy into being a goddess. And so she evolved, and that's why she wrote this book, saying everyone belongs, no matter where you find yourself in life, you can be an expression of your divinity. So I had to hear RuPaul and Barbara Streisand saying essentially the same thing. Embrace the life that you've been given and let it come forth in unique ways that each one of us can honor and bow to. My teacher, Llewellyn, you know, when I came into Science of Mind, I think I was a battered Christian. And, you know, you're an abomination in God's eyes. And thank God my teacher was gay. And there were an awful lot of gay men. You know, Ernest Holmes was bisexual. He was married to Hazel, but he had a love affair with them. I won't say who, because that's the deep secret. And it's nice to know that you do fit in somewhere. But when I got to studying with the Sufis and the mystics, and I was being absorbed by God, that was part of my evolution. Gigi was around then. I could cry all the time. And I started studying with a man named Llewellyn von Lee. Jan and I met him at one of our conferences, The Lover and the Beloved. And he said, it's not about you. It's never been about you having a better life and more manifesting stuff. It's about the Beloved. It's always about the Beloved. And that's what you are. Well, it was just like someone threw a bucket of cold water on my face. And Llewellyn has been, I may teach him next because he's such a guru to me. This is what this man says, and he still wakes me up. Isn't it time to wake ourselves up? He says, only the divine can heal and transform the world. We cannot have access to the energy of the divine unless we step beyond our egoic self. You don't really do anything. We connect to Source, and Source does everything. He's trying to get us to that bigger plane. The power of the divine can be understood in many different ways. It is the light of the self, with the big S. You know, in the Sufi tradition, they say when we incarnate with light and we incarnate with love. And when we leave this mortal coil, we take the light with us, but we leave the love behind. Now play with that one, if you've ever lost someone. I'm out there with that phone every Sunday, and I talk to my twin sister. I know that it sounds crazy, but, you know, it's sitting out there. I might as well, because she's with me. The power of the divine can be understood in many different ways. It's the light of the self. It's the sacred force in creation. It's the real joy of life, the joie de vivre. It's the energy of the eternal nature. It is our love for God, and it is God's love for us. So what if it's all about love? It's all just about love. That's why I love to say divine love brings together. Divine love's in charge. So he goes on to say, how to live from the divine center of ourself in the midst of everyday life is the question we need to ask ourselves. He says, we have to die before we die. Surrender the values of the ego in order to embrace the larger dimension of the self with the big S. Well, is that too much to ask, Anastasia? To die to the ego? To embrace the self that is embracing us? He goes on to say, in order to bring this quality into life, the divine needs our participation. So we are the guardians of our planet. We need to work with its energy for the well-being of the whole. That's that beautiful book, you know, The Story of Gaia, that quantum physicist, this woman from England, who talks about we move from, we start embracing it all as part of the Gaia, the one life. Once we step outside of the illusion of our separate self, a radically different picture begins to emerge. Our divine nature exists in a dimension of oneness. Well, there's that word oneness again. Unlike the ego, which always looks out for its own self-interest, the self, with the big S, reflects a vision of oneness in which each individual part is nourished according to its real needs. I start all these seedlings for spring. Sylvia knows I planted the cucumbers, I planted the zucchinis, I planted the zinnias and all these different. And I had like 8 different little containers, and I'm going out of town for 5 weeks. So I carried all of those little plants with me to Bay St. Louis, and they were sitting in the front yard where it was nice and warm, and I'd rotate them. And as we left, I got up and I put them back in the car and I carried them home. They're all so happy. Nasturtiums are coming up. They're in the window upstairs because they're all part of me. They're not separate from me. Even the seedlings are significant. He goes on to say, once we step outside of the illusion of the separate self, a radically different picture emerges. Our divine nature exists in this dimension of oneness. And unlike the ego, which always looks out for its own self-interest, the self with the big S reflects a vision of oneness in which every individual part is nourished according to its needs. Those my seedlings. A glimpse of the self gives us a sense of interconnected oneness in which nothing is separate. Everything is an expression of oneness that is dynamically alive. Here's the part I like. This is for you, Jody. Every person, every stone is that oneness. Everything is connected and interdependent. Our individual self is the universal self, and it is all a living organism of light and love. Well, you're just an organism of light and love, Miss Anastasia. And that lovely casing is just temporary phenomena. Well, then, does the light and the love... Last little bit. Our light is the light of the world. Our divine consciousness is the spiritual consciousness of the world. Get it? We're not separate. And the energy and the awareness of the divine are within each of us and are each of us. So in this dynamic of an interconnected whole, we are the in-breath and the out-breath of life, a life that is not just physical existence, but a multidimensional living organism of light and love. We are the spiritual lifeblood of the planet, and we need to honor this dimension of life, this quality of oneness that is present within everything. That's the namaste consciousness. The beloved in me sees the beloved in you. The beloved in me sees the beloved in you. And in this place, we are one. So he's so simple. I mean, it is so simple. It's the very beginning of this incredible book about oneness. And at the very end of the book, so you know, when I was reading Thomas Merton, he says, spiritual reading is when you read something that is sacred, you take the transmission and you receive it from the teacher. I pulled out John O'Donohue because this man lives in the presence. And he wrote a little book called Beauty. If you can see beauty in the smallest of things, John O'Donohue, because it's the wisdom of the heart. It's not about gathering more information. It's about accessing this wisdom that's inherent, that's ancient and eternal. So he starts off with oneness. And where do you think he ends at the end? Very end of the book. Every day, every moment, this is how you can resolve to evolve. You just simply say yes. As Anastasia says, show up for the moment. You say yes to our beloved and to the beloved's life. And in this primal yes, with a capital Y, we celebrate the beloved. That's God. We celebrate his presence in our life and in the world. We are not here to change the world, but to experience it through his eyes of revelation, to see the good, the God, and everything. When Adam told me his struggle with the accident on Friday night, he says, I keep quoting Hildegard of Bingen, Emma Curtis Hopkins, this too is good, this too is for God, and I'm demanding to see the blessing. He hasn't found it yet, but he keeps affirming that I'm demanding to see the blessing. So maybe you'll get a new car. I don't know. His presence in our life and in the world, we are not here to change the world, but to experience it through the eyes of revelation, and then we will see that it has already changed. And what most people imagine as life is just the fading images of a previous era. Have you noticed when you get to a certain age, we've lived through this evolution of consciousness? Every time I go back and watch those, when we were down at the house, they had the Alfred Hitchcock's Presents shows from the 50s. And oh my God, that was like stepping back in the Twilight Zone. And I was raised on Alfred Hitchcock's. And then I realized that being in that little town of Bay St. Louis, I was in the Twilight Zone. You have landed in the Twilight Zone, where nothing changes. Everything was the same as it was 50, 60 years ago. And I thought, holy cow. And then I went into an antique store and I was deeper in the Twilight Zone. Looking through the patterns of conditioning, we see a dying world destroying itself with greed and pollution. Llewellyn has a little bad taste in what we're doing with our environment. He wrote a book called Spiritual Ecology, and he says, if we can't wake up and hear nature speaking to us, we're doomed. So he's still got a little bit of that. Through the eyes of revelation, we will see a new world forming amidst the shadow. And last, his last little sentence, through our simple yes, We claim the right to see with light, not with darkness, to see with light a new experience, which is being born out of those who can claim this new idea. And then in a moment, both so simple and so extraordinary, we will realize that we are what is being born. The universal human is being born. And when we change who we are, and you know, there's that wonderful line, Richard Rohr talks about it. He said, it's not about changing your thinking, changing your life. He says, we must evolve out of that way of thinking. It's about changing who you are. And when you change who you are, your thinking naturally changes. He's saying the same thing. And then in a moment, both so simply and extraordinary, we realize that we are what is being born. In the miracle of the divine oneness, the center of life is within us. The good, the God we're looking for is right there at the center of your being. Wow. The mystery of life happens in every single moment for each one of us. And then time collapses. And the past dissolves. It's just a memory. The future doesn't exist. It's just a fantasy. And then we get to discover this exquisite moment. Can we be fully present? This is the moment the Lord has made. And we're right here together. We are the center of the circle. And yes and no, we're running around the circumference, chasing each other. We are the center of the circle. We are our beloved, really revealing herself now. And then, you know, when you do, in the Sufi tradition, they have one practice. It's called zikr. And zikr is here to polish the mirror of your heart. So you look with the eyes of the heart. And the zikr goes, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. You say that ad nauseum, ad infinitum. There is nothing but God. There is nothing but love. There is nothing but light. And then, what about all the stuff with me, my story, my problem? Well, it just kind of falls away because there's nothing but love. There's nothing but light, and that's what we are. So, Jody, you want to hit the bell, and I'll do a little meditation, and then we'll do a nice song, and then we'll do a collection and figure it out. For whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. And we return to that stillness. And we find freedom in that stillness, freedom from our thoughts. I hear Krishnamurti who said, in oneself lies the whole world. And if you know how to look and to learn, looking within, being teachable and open, then the door is there and the key is in your hand. But no one gives us this key or the door to open except ourselves. So that's where our intention comes in. That's where our resolution comes in. The intention to be fully present in the moment. Turning off the mind and opening the wisdom of the heart. And then, as they say, we put the head and the heart together. So that as we navigate this journey to nowhere, to now here, that love is leading the way, as Dr. Holmes said, and the law is making the way possible, spiritual law. And so love is guiding us to be a presence of divine love here on planet Earth. Loving our brothers and sisters as ourself. Knowing that this life is sacred. And every aspect of it is holy. And then we feel into who we are. With that wonderful question, who am I? Am I this little local self who has an agenda, a history, and a herstory? Or am I the breath within the breath? Am I the stillness itself? Am I the love and the light? A love that never dies, and a light that is always shining from within. And you hear Noor Allah Noor. Light upon light. The light in me sees the light in you. You hear the Buddha, be a light unto the world. You hear Jesus, don't put your light under a bushel, but let it shine. And so what if this is the divine light that we all have within? and that we see out there in the world shining back at us. It's the same light. So we say yes, as Llewellyn suggested. We say yes to this amazing life that we've been given. We open to the art of life, the art of living, where every moment is sacred, where every moment is mindful. And how we do anything really is how we do everything. And so could we mindfully sit in this room, at the center of the circle? There's a wonderful saying that says, the truth sits at the center and knows, while the ego runs around and supposes, with yes and no and maybe. So we come to that center place, where we no longer have to chase after anything. We have arrived. We are home. And then the teachers from within begin to arise. Thich Nhat Hanh was one of my teachers, and when I studied with him, he would say, we inter are. He called it inner beingness. And he says, if you look at a piece of paper, you can see this, you can see the sun shining. You can see the trees. You can see the lumberjack. You can see the earth just by looking at a piece of paper. The interconnection is amazing. And so we step out of this local mind into this, this field of awake awareness. An awareness that is always there. An awareness that doesn't really have opinions, but an awareness that knows. And we smile. Because there's wisdom in this deep awareness that doesn't really think, but that has a knowing, a gnosis. And then you hear the Gnostic Gospels. Jesus, in his Gospel of Thomas, the very first logian or saying of the master teacher was, in all your seeking, he said, seek until you find. And he says, and when you find, you will be greatly disturbed. And when you are greatly disturbed, you'll be filled with awe. And when you are filled with awe, you will have dominion over your life. We are filled with awe because we know that it is not I of myself do nothing. It's the Father within, as Jesus said, that doeth the work. And so we enter into this knower within, the Buddha consciousness, that awake awareness, whatever you want to call it, and we smile. So we resolve here and now to evolve into this new human where the true self can flower. And when two or more are gathered in this nature, in this consciousness of the awakened one, well, the I am is there. And so we come here to merge into that field of divine love, into that field of awake awareness, into that light that knows no other. And we say, I have arrived. I am home. And all is well. And all shall be well. Because I evolve. I resolve to evolve. What a joy. And so now we let it happen with ease and grace and playfulness until that which is pushing us is pulling us by a vision. We are one. I am you. You are me. We are one. How glorious is that? Eckhart Tolle says, do you need more knowledge? Is more information going to save the world, or faster computers, or more scientific or intellectual analysis? He says, it is not wisdom. Is it not wisdom, rather, that humanity needs most of the time? But what is wisdom and where is it to be found, he asks. Wisdom comes with the ability to be still. Just look and just listen. No more is needed. Being still, looking within, and listening activates the non-conceptual intelligence within us and lets stillness direct our words and our actions as we take the next step. So when you're ready to let stillness speak through you, to let divine love flow through you, and let your light shine, 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 we'll just take a little break and have a little song. What?
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information, please visit www.cslhuntsville.org.